Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Real Estate Confidant School. I am your host, Mike Razor, here in New York City. Hopefully, you all are having a wonderful day today. Woo! Today is another beautiful day, beautiful morning, beautiful start. Yes. Look, ladies and gentlemen, if you're trying to build your business, build your productivity, build your systems, you have to constantly grow. One thing that I learned in the business is that the business restructures itself based off of the monetary system. It has to. And it's all balanced, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a balance, right? Look at the history books. Every, 10 years or so, we go through some type of depressionary state, some type of restructuring, some type of reorganizing, right? So in that, I go back to the analogy of a pilot flying a plane. As it's flying, it has to constantly adjust itself. This is something that you have to do. You have to constantly adjust yourself. Some of us have goals. Some goals to us are big goals. Some to others are smaller than the goals that we really, really want to accomplish. And in that, it's about timing. It's about being a people person, being able to become a chameleon in all avenues. This is what I show, what I teach. I also put up, like, as if you guys have been listening to previous audios, I put up properties that are for sale. And I do that so that you guys, if you guys have an opportunity, you guys could take it, especially the ones that are new. Okay. Ones that live in New York. It's better for you guys because this is where, I've been working. Right. In terms of my license, but look, as far as the individuals who don't have a license yet, like I said, and I always say this, you could become an investor. Redevelopment, building, purchasing your first home, purchasing your first multifamily, 2 to 4 units, getting your feet wet, knowing the laws, understanding the structure of systems depending on where you live, and growing with that. Okay. Everybody has their own system. One thing that I've seen is that I've seen a lot of people who are successful, or so supposedly are successful, talking about other people who purchase real estate in various fashions than what they do. Some people purchase real estate outright. Some people purchase the shares of the real estate investment trusts. Some people prefer real estate investment trusts. Some people prefer purchasing at auctions. Some, you know, because it's an easier process. And they don't really worry too much about what the, in terms of taxes and such, like, you know, things of that nature. They don't really worry too much about that part of it. But this whole system requires restructuring, and that's just the basis. It may sound like I have a peppermint in my mouth, but I don't. I actually had an extraction done the other day on a tooth. So it's healing right now, but the show must go on, you know. So it's important for you guys to understand the history of your area, understand the laws of your area, understand who's winning, who's losing, what areas are selling what areas are renting what, and building on that structure. It's great to know the laws, especially when you have people like family members or such who may end up going through something that where they don't understand that they have rights. And there's a lot of state laws that protect them from being harassed or evicted or what have you. So that's another great reason. Okay. But overall, you know, real estate is amazing. I went with a friend of mine last weekend to look at a couple units, and the Bronx, look, even though the Bronx has a bad reputation, I mean, it doesn't have a bad reputation for everybody, because the Bronx is actually fairly huge. It's a fairly big place. They just chopped it up into various aspects. So you go past a certain point, you don't go across a bridge. They just named it something else. Okay? So let's be clear. This is how Queens is huge. Bronx is huge. But back to the story. I was able to take a look at a couple of units. I mean, these apartments, they still have the old feel. Old feel meaning it still has the 1980s luxury look. And what I mean by that is the floors are still hardwood, original hardwood. The windows are the original windows. What's it called? The fixtures have updated. So they've updated the kitchen and all that stuff, you know. So obviously that's one thing that they did update, you know. But the accents on the walls are still the same. That's one thing I love about those properties, because they never took the accents off of the walls. The spaces that allow you to put paintings or mirrors or something within them, they're still there. So there is a form of luxury there. The problem is the buildings themselves, the upkeep of the buildings are not there. And it could be because of the management company. It could be because the owner's financial situation is not, is dwindling. There could be different reasons for that, you know. So I never knock a building or management company, a building owner or management company for the way things look. It could also be because the people that live in the building don't treat the property really good. It could also be the super, where the property, where the super's really not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, when I went into this building, I noticed that there was, the mailboxes were broken. So, I mean, to fix mailboxes, it doesn't cost that much to fix mailboxes, but maybe somebody came a week or 2 weeks prior to me coming to look at the place and the mailboxes were fixed at that time. But then when I got there, someone had broken into them or something. I don't know. But the point is those nuances should be fixed immediately. There shouldn't be a super that says, oh, that says that I'm on vacation, or I'm not vacation, but I don't work on the weekends. No, brother, sister, if you are the super of the building and you have problems like that, then you need to get that done It doesn't matter if it's the weekend or weekday. Okay? And hey, I understand some of you guys that are supers, you guys disagree. I get it. I respect it. Fine. Disagree, you know, agree to disagree. That doesn't bother me much. But from someone who has been in the business for years, someone who in years, I mean, over a decade. Okay. And then and also someone who has handled real estate investments. Also, I can tell you that it's not a good look. The type of tenant that you want to move into that property is not looking for that. That's going to be an automatic turnoff. Now, if in your mind you're saying, well, these people that live here don't care about how the property looks, maybe some don't. Maybe the people that you're moving in, maybe some of them don't, right? But many of them, I guarantee you, will take care of the property if when they get there, it's already taken care of. You can't present someone a dirty cookie and expect them to eat it, right? Come on, my people. But what I can say is that the actual apartment itself, the apartments themselves that I had gone in and saw, those apartments were taken care of. Renovated. So we don't know who lived there prior. It doesn't look like anybody lived there prior, but I'm pretty sure someone did. But they put a brand new refrigerator, brand new stove, brand new everything, brand new a countertops, brand new cabinetry. Okay. And what have you. Now, the bathroom is still the same, but they clean the bathroom up, though. So kudos for doing that. Like, that is like on point. That's awesome. But the point is, you know, when you are going as newbie real estate professionals, when you are going, you're looking at properties and you're, you know, helping people and doing all these things, you got to keep these things in mind. Sometimes we don't have time to do it only because, you know, we're so busy trying to get from one place to the other that by the time something pops up, we just got to go. You know, sometimes I have a client where I'm showing them a property, and then something else comes up that day and I ask if they want to go see that one also. But what I do is I forewarn them. I let them know that this just came up. I have not looked at it yet, so I don't know what the specs are, but it's within your budget and it looks and it sounds like exactly what it is that you're looking for. Okay. So, you know, just to give people options. And that's basically that. The other thing is, I always say to expand your horizons, right? Now, I understand newbie investors who feel that they want to start small, work their way up. You could do that. That's perfectly fine. And I think that's a great opportunity to learn the ropes. There's a lot of things building your team. There's a lot of things you have to learn first prior to really delving into the process. But also another aspect that of this industry that a lot of people don't discuss is purchasing real estate companies, purchasing brokerages, purchasing buildings through management, purchasing the lot of portfolios and things of that nature. And that's probably because people don't think that if I'm starting out, that it's a great idea. They don't think that if I'm starting out, that I'm going to be looked at as, you know, make like legitimately. But trust me, if you have your ducks in a row, there's a process. But if you have your ducks in a row and you present yourself properly, you present yourself to the banks properly, you show them the financials properly, you will be approved for a loan that will offer the opportunity to retire someone who has owned a real estate business for years, right? And you don't have to have your real estate license to do it. You don't have to have your brokerage license to do it. No, you don't. So don't even try it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what you could do, because, and the reason being is because you are not the one that's running the real estate agency. You're not the one running the brokerage, ladies and gentlemen. You are the owner of the company, of the business. You own it. You don't run it. So usually with that kind of situation, you still need, obviously, legally, you still need a someone with a brokerage license to have their license with the company. So the structure doesn't actually change. The difference is you own it now and you get majority of the shares or, you know, or something to that effect where it's negotiated with the person who has the brokerage license. But you got, you know, do your negotiation. But you have the ability to do it. And, you know, as long as the financials look right, as long as from 3 years plus, there's been positive cash flow coming in regularly, you know, you're good to go. But that's a whole another ball game. Just wanted to throw that option out there. So you have options. You have ways. There's different systems in place for you to build this. Don't let people make you think that you have no way. I know some of you guys have no money in your pocket whatsoever. Okay? And you start now. I've lost money. I've gained money and lost money again. You understand? I made bad decisions, transition, made good ones, great ones. Come on, my people. Remember the time when I did a deal with Carol's daughter in Disney, and it was for Princess and the Frog. This was when I was focusing on marketing and public relations, and people didn't understand how I even got the deal in the first place. You ask, fool. Y'all not fools, but you ask. But you do it professionally because you are a professional. You own your business, right? That's what you do. Long story short, we signed the contracts. Me and my business partner and I signed the contracts with Carol's daughter, which I didn't know was actually L'Oreal at the time. And which actually I should reach out to them. But I had the opportunity to work with some amazing people. Some amazing, beautiful people. The love is there. One thing led to the other, but long story short, the contract, we received $7,000, which it was supposed to be more than that. I believe it was $7,000. I'm trying to remember. But because we structured the contract in a certain manner, we couldn't recoup the total funds. I think it was like maybe $14,000 or something like that. We couldn't recoup the full funds because of a situation that occurred on their end. So they had to shut things down early. But look, that's a learning experience. One, that was one of my first biggest checks I've ever received, okay, within a month, right? And then the following deal that I had with E&J New Media, I think that was, I gave them a discount because initially it was supposed to be $5,000 a month. I gave them a discount, and I don't know, I forget. It was like $2,000 or $3,000 a month for 4 months or so, 4 or 5 months. Which I didn't do that afterward because our company had already had the clientele needed, but because of a circumstance in which I usually do negotiation, I allowed that to happen. And that was okay because the company was pretty cool. Okay. And this is one thing I want to say. If you go through hard times and frustrations, it's okay. It happens. That's with everybody. Okay. So it's all good. Life moves on, and we better acclimate ourselves to the circumstances. Okay. But long story, let me go back with the Carol's Daughters contract. We went ahead and decided to accept it. Everything went through. Our people did the job, et cetera, et cetera. But if we would have known to add or had an attorney read the contract, which we may have actually, but it was a quick, okay, everything looks good, that's it. Instead of asking, what could we improve on that contract to protect us? Now that we knew about a situation like this occurring, moving forward, the contracts would have been, okay, if we do this, then in return, we get this amount, whether or not a problem occurs in the long run. And that's just that. But like I said, this is all a process, people. This is all a process. And in the process, you meet some amazing, wonderful people, mentors. You know, if one thing I can say is if I didn't meet the people that I met along the way, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And that goes for the people that I went to high school with, the people I went to college with, the people that I met at Disney, working at Disney. Okay? All of these great people that I've met through the process. See, you never know where people are going to take themselves in their pursuit of happiness and joy and growth. I have friends now, ladies and gentlemen, that work as VPs at Disney, Walt Disney World, that have their own production companies, that work in California, work in Atlanta, write scripts. I have people who are elegant and, you know, just amazing, but I only had that capability because I left where I was from. I decided to learn more and grow. You gotta grow, people. It's not just about this. Oh my God. Be more, be better. You want that quick dollar, that fast buck? Okay, but also have a play on the side. You understand? Success leaves clues. Right? I'm telling you, how did I know that I was going to be working in Disney World for a whole year? Well, what feels like was an entire year in 2005. right? With some amazing friends, amazing people. How did I know I was going to be mentored by Dr. James Abington? Dr. Abington, which unbeknownst to me, not only was he the head director of music, he was also, well, he's not anymore. He's in another place, but he also owned his own publishing company that printed hymnals for churches that I have been going to since I was a baby. I never knew that. He has so much to give. Oh my God. You understand? So you, as a person, meet those people that you need to meet to get you to where you need to go. I don't care what race they are. I'm going to say this again. I don't care what race they are. If they have a problem with you, show them the reason why it makes sense. Okay? It doesn't matter where you were born or where you grew up. Show them. If they're not listening, show them. This whole thing is a process to a T, and God is there. God has got your back. I don't like using that word because I think God is used in a general term, and I know that there is a big G and a little G, okay? I know the difference, right? But I'm a historian. So certain information I've delved into regarding language. I graduated from the university with a double major and a minor, English theater and music. Okay? So once I began to learn the breakdown of the English language, it taught me a lot more than I thought it would. Same thing with you. When you get to learn what you need to learn in real estate, and break down the structure and how to actually make money and what to look out for and see the mentors and how they move, how everybody is maneuvering into that next level. You need to be on that pace. Okay? You need to get to that next level right now. You have no time. Okay. Some of you guys may be young, 18, 17, 16, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, etc., etc. Young, 40, 50. I realize that 70-year-olds call 50-year-olds young. 50-year-olds call 30-year-olds young. 40-year-olds call 30-year-old and 20-year-olds young. So it doesn't matter. It's all within the same thing. But you have to grow and understand the structure of business. And that's the most valuable asset that you can have, knowledge. Okay? Most valuable asset you can have. So get off your butt. Go to the nearest real estate office. Or do some research and find the right one for you and start your journey. If you're at home with your family, your parents, let them know what you're going to do and tell them it's going to take some time because you got to get started and you won't be working. If you do have to work, ask to do homeschool. Okay. Get the paperwork, have them sign everything, get the papers, read it, whoop, whoop, whoop. Go take your test. Okay? It's important. I mean, you got to have a key. Find out what your credit score is also. Some of you guys might have a good credit score. Some of you guys might not have great credit scores, and some of you guys may not have any credit whatsoever. So if that is the case, my suggestion is speak to your parents first, see if they have credit cards. If it's in good standing, then tell them to add you as an authorized user. That way you get immediate length of time and you get immediate credit. So if your family has had an American Express card for 10 years or what have you, they'll add you as an authorized user. You don't need the credit card. Tell them you don't want the card. Okay? And that way you can raise your credit for those individuals who don't have credit yet. That's the quickest way. I wouldn't suggest doing it as a trade line, from Trade Line Supply or Trade Line website at this moment in the initial, right? I don't suggest it, only because that trade line gets taken off usually within a week or 2 weeks or something to that effect. If it's a family member or something, if it's a family member or something, then it's going to be there for a while. Okay. Now make sure, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that whichever family member you decide to ask, make sure you ask them if they are in good standing with their credit cards. Make sure you ask if there's been any time where they've defaulted, where there's a problem. You can even say, let's check your credit. Let's see how it's working. Okay? Because sometimes people just don't know. Okay? And then when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, one of two things. When you do that, one, you'll know that you could utilize credit. Boom, boom, boom. You could go and try to get a credit card of your own, which they'll probably approve you with that authorized user trade line up there. And the fact that you have no delinquencies or anything like that. And then two, this gives you the opportunity to know whether or not you yourself can purchase real estate. So if your score is above 500, 570, 580, 620, etc., then you could get an FHA loan. You could buy your first home. There's various ways to do it. I just want to let you guys know the whole depth of it is clear. But then you as a 21-year-old, 18-year-old, you have the ability to purchase your family a home. If your family is struggling, you have the ability to purchase your family a home. Once again, if your family is struggling, you have the ability to purchase your family a home, ladies and gentlemen. The thing is, usually, they want you to have worked at the company, at your job for 1-2 years, for 2 years plus. Right? They want you to have worked at your job for 2 years plus. Now, if you're 18, all you need to do is get documentation from a family member who owns a business, for example, showing that you've worked there for that long. And they also want like bank statement or something to that effect. But you can show receipts. You can show various ways, various things of legitimacy with the business that your family member owns, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Some of you guys have worked since you were 14 or 15. Starbucks hires, I believe, starting at age 16. So if you're 16, get started now. 2 years down the line, 18, make sure while you're doing that, you get an AU, authorized user, and everything together so that when you become of age, you could go ahead and get started. Right? Then you have legitimate proof. You show the mortgage broker, hey, I've been doing this for years. Boom. This, that. Right? And then you even if they say, oh, you know, you're 18, you need a guardian or something. I don't know how that process works. But even if then you just have an adult, someone 21 years of age or older, come with you, do the whole process with you, explain the situation. Even if they have to come to me, let them talk to me. We'll figure it out. And, you know, and then we could put something together. Right? If your ultimate goal is not only to get your real estate license, but to get your family out of a tough situation, then you could do it that way. Right? You have the ability to. Now, the property that you purchased the first time, it may not be in the exact neighborhood that you wanted to be in, but it is a start. Multifamily 2 to 4 units. Think about it. If you can get a 2 to 4 unit building, right? Brownstone or what have you. And instead of renting out all the floors, you put your family in them. Your mother, your father, you know, your brother, your sister. Everybody pitch in. That's a way to do it. Then once your brother goes to college, your sister goes to college, your this, your that, you go and rent out the units. You renovate the units, you rent them out. Boom, 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 you rent them out. And then you refinance, you leverage that property, you leverage the equity in that property to purchase your new property. These are things, this is something that everybody knows, or a lot of people already know. At 70%, right? Now you have some kind of leverage. Now, if you could get that secondary property where the appraisal value might be $300,000, but you purchased it for $150,000, when you get it, when the deed is transferred, you automatically have equity of $150,000. So you only got a loan of $150,000, but you got equity of $150,000. You understand what I'm saying? And now you could either take the equity, 70% of that $150,000 immediately, and go and get you another one. That might be a single family, where in the single family home, and you could purchase it outright if you decide to do that. You may not want to. Some people prefer finance. But you do that, you renovate that home, get a renovation loan, and then you could either resell that home for more than what you purchased it for. If it was $300,000 appraised, you renovate it, and now it's $550,000 or $600,000 after the renovation, right? Resell that home, and now, boom, you've basically quadrupled your money, right? And now, and it just, you know, it's consistent. It keeps going. Okay? The Bird Method after that. But then you have a sustainable amount of portfolio at that point, right? Now, you may want to delve into farmland if you decide to do that. You could go ahead on an auction block. You could go on and just look at some realtors' websites. You could get some land that's raw. You could get land that's already habitable, that already has some type of foliage, that's already bringing in money. You don't have to do it yourself. And all you're doing is taking over the business. And the tax breaks for owning the farmland is crazy. Owning farmland is crazy. So not only do you own a farm company and farmland, you also own multi-family residences. Now, and with my suggestion, you know, you could keep that. You could leverage all those opportunities you just received, all those fundings, all the units that's being rented by your tenants. You could take all that, and it's been over maybe 2 or 3 years, and you could present that to the bank and say, hey, I have a group of people. I got a chairman. I have my attorneys. I have my accountants, my financial people. I have my COO. I'm the founding director or whatever. And I want to buy this building. And the building is 121 units or something to that effect. And he looks at everything. You look at the numbers of the building. You present the numbers of the building to the bank. Right? And, you know, and then you come back. And then they tell you, okay, this is what we're looking at. This might work. This might not work. You know, you do the negotiations. And then you come back afterward and they approve you for the building. You're approved. You get the money from the bank to purchase the building. You purchase the building. Right? You purchase the building and you renovate the building just like you renovated the regular units. If they need to be renovated, which I hope they do, you renovate the building to new and you resell the building again. But now look, think about this. You got to make sure you're looking at the right neighborhoods also. Neighborhood A, neighborhood B, neighborhood C, okay? The quality of living. And determine if your renovations is gonna will make sense in terms of financials, not necessarily the neighborhood, but in terms of the rents that's being paid in those neighborhoods. Is it gonna make sense? Is what I'm saying. Right? This is a numbers thing, numbers game. Even if it's downtown, even if it's in the wealthiest neighborhood, does it make sense? Okay, now I'm giving you a lot of information on this episode because it's something that I feel is important, something that I just wanted to discuss. Okay, so now once you get this building, you do the renovations, the building costs $9 million or $15 million or $90, I mean, in New York, to own a building, to own a one unit in New York, in Midtown, it could go for $100 million. But we're talking about units in the billions. So if you got 121 units in Midtown, brand new, yeah, you're going to be paying a pretty penny. But if it's something like in Harlem, Upper East Side, Upper West Side, maybe the Bronx, maybe Brooklyn, Queens, depending on where you're at, you might be able to get a building for $15 million, $9 million, that kind of thing, right? So do the negotiations. See what it's about. If it work out, it work out. And if it doesn't, then go back to the drawing board and figure it out, okay? Now you need... You definitely need to have your team in place before you even decide to get to that point. Maybe you decide you want to go ahead and purchase small properties first on your own. Maybe your family will be your team at that moment. But you really need to have a legitimate team to work with and to work with you. You understand what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, you get your real estate attorneys, you get your mentor, your chairman, your chairperson, your COO, you get your marketing people, your financial people, your accountants. and let them do the work, do the numbers, present them with all the information. This is what I need to know. And you offer them equity in the business, right? Because you're building a business. Hopefully you've already done that. You created your name, your LLC. You may want to do it after you've put the team together and offered them the opportunity to be a part of your dream. Okay? So, and then the other thing is now you're a boss. So you got to present yourself like a boss. Now, some people, they prefer wearing whatever. They prefer wearing sweatpants, maybe a Hugo Boss sweatsuit. You know, one of my uncles, who's an entrepreneur himself, he said, you know, he used to think all the wealthy people, millions and billionaires, wore suits. But they don't. They wear sweatpants and sweatshirts and stuff like that. So if you're not there yet, I wouldn't suggest you do it. But he was there and he saw the, you know, the level on that level, what they wore. Now he's not talking about going into a bank to get a loan or none. He's talking about just going out to get food, go to a restaurant, that kind of thing. As far as you presenting yourself, I don't suggest you do that. I mean, even though some people want to, and that's perfectly fine, you know. I think it's important as you're starting out as a newbie professional to look the part, dress the part, act the part, okay? Suit, tie, and I'm not talking about Stacey Adams suits and what have you. No, cut that out. I'm talking about a black suit or navy blue suit, black shoes, black belt, socks that match the tie, clean cut. I can't say that enough. Okay. Make sure you clean. Anyway, there's more to it that I could talk about, but I'm going to put a pause on it, and get back to you on the next episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you all. Hopefully you guys have a great day and have a good one.